Right, dear pals. Now, who knows what a pal is?
A friend?
A friend, that's right. Which language does that come from? Is that English? Well, there are people in America who have the word pal as their native language. But I'm a language teacher, so I'll tell you very quickly. A pal is a gypsy word, and it means friend. And the gypsy life is called Romany Rye. So, what's the gypsy life called?
Romany
Rye. Right. And what's the gypsy word for a friend?
Pal.
Pal. So you all speak fluent gypsy language. So whenever you meet a gypsy, call him your pal, and he'll be very honored, and ask him about Romany Rye. So easy is it to learn languages. Now, we've been learning about men who have translated the Bible. And have you noticed most of them had a long, long beard?
Yes.
Who's got a long, long beard here?
Yes.
Well, I've got a short, short beard, but most of them had long, long beards. But would you believe it? Two of the most important people in the Reformation in Europe were children. Now, you don't believe a word I'm saying, do you? Do you believe me? No, do you believe me? Well, I am telling you the truth. Many years ago, when the Reformation was in progress, we had a king called Henry VIII. He was a big man, almost 7 foot tall. And when he walked down the streets, you could hear him half a mile away. And he had a tiny son called Edward. And he became Edward VI. Who's called Edward here? No Edwards, no Teds? Well, he was called Edward, Edward VI. And his father died when he was only a child of about 9 or 10. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? If your father dies and you're only 9 or 10. But this little child started the Reformation in England, where people left the very evil Roman Catholic Church and began to read the Bible, and they began to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it started very gradually. When Edward was 9 years of age, who's nine here? Who's under nine? Under nine? Oh, so many. Well, he was just a bit older than you. And he had a friend in the palace, because he was a king's son. And his friend wanted to get a book from the shelves way up there. Well, what would you do to get that book? You wouldn't have known how to, would you have jumped?
I get a stool.
You say, oh yes, that's a very good idea. What would you do?
A ladder.
That's almost as good, isn't it? Well, perhaps it's better. You can get higher and higher. Yes?
Give my friend a
boost. What would you do?
Give my friend a boost.
Yes, you mean like that. Great. Well, Edward's friend got hold of a big Bible and put it on the floor and climbed up on it with his dirty boots. I presume they were dirty because they'd been playing outside and just come in. Well, Edward said, please don't do that. Nobody will trample on the word of God in my palace. And so his friend had to say, oh, I'm very, very sorry, Prince Edward, because he was only a prince then. But when his father died, although he was still not in his teens, he wasn't 13 or 14, he was younger, he had to become king of England, Scotland, and Ireland. And so the men of the court came to him and said, "O king, live forever. You are going to be crowned tomorrow." And Edward thought, "Oh dear, what does that mean?" And they said, "You are going to march through the church to have your crown put on your head, and you are going to have three swords carried before you." Now, this is a true story. Three swords? Why three swords? I told you who he was king of, so what would the three swords mean? No, I told you who he was king of. Yes, the three countries. And you know what Edward said? And he was only a tiny tot when he said it. He said, "Oh, you're wrong." So he told the old men of the court that they were wrong. He said, "I'm not having three swords carried before me. I'm having four swords." Now, this is in all the history documented. It's quite true. What do you think the fourth sword was?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So, when Edward was crowned, one person went before everybody else with an open Bible. And then a man came afterwards carrying three swords. The sword of Scotland, Ireland, and England. And then young King Edward came. And this young man started to write about his faith. And he wrote three books on the Christian faith. And you would have thought he was a man of 45 or more. Yes, sir. Beg your pardon?
Why did the person carry a fourth sword too before him?
Yes, because the Word of God must go before all other things. And so the Word of God was carried before, open in the hands, on a cushion. And then, yes, sir. Yes, I think Edward would have made a good friend to you. Right, well, things went on because in England people thought that in the Lord's Supper they rang a little bell. And they rang a little bell to tell the people that the bread and the wine had become the very flesh and blood of Jesus. So on the table, there was a piece of Jesus, as it were, in meat form. Now, young Edward, when he was 13, he says, "This is crazy." In Germany, you go like this. Do you do that in America? When you think somebody's crazy, you go like this. So Edward thought, yes. And you go like this too? Yes, oh, if you go like that, you take off like a helicopter. Well, one day, who would come marching down the hall but the Archbishop of Canterbury? He was called Mr. Cranmer. And little Edward said, "Come here, Archbishop. Come here. I won't bite you. Don't be frightened." And the Archbishop came up to him and he said, "Archbishop, don't you know that you're silly? You believe that the bread is the very body of Christ, but people are celebrating the Lord's Supper all over the world. So there's a piece of Jesus all over the world on the altar." He said, "No, Jesus is with us in our hearts. and he's present with all those who believe with him, believe on him in a spiritual form. And so Cranmer began to believe in the Protestant truth that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate it in remembrance of Christ, but we certainly do not put a piece of meat on the altar and eat it like cannibals. Now, during the reign of Edward, he only reigned for a very few years, until 1552. But England produced a Protestant and Reformed service in the churches and articles of faith, which we still use, or they still use, in England. And through this little boy, the Reformation came into England. Henry VIII had really nothing to do with it at all, but Edward had a lot to do with it. And then when Edward was 19 years of age, he suddenly died. And people believed that it was the Roman Catholics who had poisoned him. Wasn't that awful? And then we had a terrible woman who came on the throne, and she was called Mary. And do you know what people called her? Say it loud.
Bloody Mary.
Yes, she was called Mary the Bloody, or Bloody Mary, because she got hold of all the reformers, and 280 of them. And what did she do with them? Yes, and worse, not just and but she burnt them to ashes. So you see, it's not always easy being a Christian. You've got to prepare to suffer for the Lord's sake. So we leave Edward, because you say, oh, but he was a boy. And we're all, well, most of you here are young ladies. What about the ladies? Oh, I'll tell you about the ladies. I was in Lapland doing missionary work. Where is Lapland? No one knows? Well, I'm happy that the Laps know, at least. But don't American children know where Lapland is? I'll tell you. It's in the very icy regions of Russia and Finland and Sweden and Norway. And those are countries to the north of Europe, miles away from America. But there live the Laps. They're fairly tiny people, and they have very decorative clothing, and they have bells around their knees. So when they walk, they go cling-a-ling-a-ling, 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 cling-a-ling-a-ling. Why do they do that? I didn't understand that. What is the? Can anyone say that in other words? Oh, people should notice them. I'm awfully sorry. That's right. You see, in Lapland, there's lots of snow, and it's a bit foggy, and you easily get lost. And you're absolutely right. They all have bells on their knees so that people can hear them far away. And if they're looking for somebody, they listen to the bells, and then they go over and they found them. In Switzerland, they put bells around the cows' necks just for the same task. Well, there was a girl called Mary, and she wasn't Mary the Bloody, she was Mary the Good. Because she found out about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she thought, I must go to see the Queen. And the Queen was called Mary then too. But the Queen lived almost 1,000 miles away, right in the south of Sweden. She said, I must go to see the Queen to ask her to send us teachers so that we shall know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've spoken so much, I'm so dry, I'll take a drink.
So 12-year-old Mary journeyed all the way down through Sweden. This was about 1345. And at last she came to the palace and knocked at the door, and the guards came and said, "Give the password," so she could get in. And she said, "Oh, I don't know the password, but I've come to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ." And so the men of war were so fascinated by this little lab girl in a beautiful colored clothing, so they allowed her to go and see Mary the Queen. And she said to Mary the Queen, who wasn't a very intelligent person at all, she said, "We need missionaries to come to Lapland and help the children and the adults to find Jesus." So, do you know what she did? She got hold of a piece of paper and a pen, gave it to her archbishop, and said, "Now you write, I, Mary the Queen of Sweden, Norway, and Denmark, do hereby proclaim that Lapland has become a Christian nation." And she got men to go out into all the villages in Lapland and read this proclamation. Now, what do you think of that? Do you think all the Laps became Christians overnight?
No.
No, of course not. So it didn't work. So she had another idea. She sent 12 bishops, this is history, 12 bishops up to Lapland with 12 sacks. Is sack an American word too? Big bag. And these bishops went up to Lapland and laid wait for stray children running around and put them in the bag. And then they went down to Lund, where the palace was, and they thought, if we educate these children, whom they just kidnapped, and send them back as missionaries to Lapland, they will all become Christians. Do you think that worked? A Christian is a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and loves him very dearly, because Christ loves you too very dearly. See? So if you know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, then you tell him so. And if people say to him, "I want you, dear Savior," then if they if Jesus is of the same opinion, I mean he's the Lord, then you will become a Christian. Now, you know that didn't work, did it? Didn't work at all. The children learned to be Swedes, and when they went back to Lapland, they thought, these dirty pagan Laps, I don't want anything to do with them. But then Mary still persisted. This time she was a young woman. And she found people who were translating the Bible. And she told these people who were translating the Bible that Lapland needed Bibles so that they might read of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people sent Bibles and distributed them all over Lapland. Yes, sir? I've forgotten what you were going to say too, so I'll continue. Now, do you think that worked? People reading the Bible in their own language and searching for Christ. Do you think they found him? Somebody's nodding. Yes. Many Laps became Christians, and they were able to evangelize Sweden from the north. And very many Laps became missionaries for the Lord's sake. So here we have a young fellow from 9 to 19. He was 19 when he died. And here we have a young girl from 12 to about 25. And these were the people who helped England with her vast areas and Sweden with her vast areas to become Christians. So, don't think that every missionary is a man with a long beard. He can be you, or you, or you. Right. Have I taken too long? No, just a few minutes. Now, I have some prizes here. And I suppose you're also good. All will win the same book, which is difficult. But who can tell me a couple of things about Wycliffe? You can? The Morning Star. Right. Good. That's for you. Now, have we a musician here? Ah, you were first. Do you know the hymn, How Great Thou Art? Yes, how does it go then? Oh, yes, that's enough. We know you know it. So, here is the story of How Great Thou Art. And there's, it was a Swedish hymn. And it went to Russia, and a man who I knew personally, called Stuart Hine, brought it from Russia to Europe. And it became a very much beloved hymn. So that's the story. Now, I've got a very valuable book here. And the gentleman who said he wanted to go for it, oh, he's sitting over there. We'll have to show what he knows now, because this is the very New Testament that Beza translated in the 16th century. And this book is over 200 years old, and it's the Latin text of Beza. Now, who can stand up and recite a whole verse in Latin, or tell me something in Latin? Yes? Well, you were first, and I thought you were going to be quicker at this, because you said you'd like to go in for it. Now, tell me something in Latin. I have to come near you, because I'm hard of hearing. Yes. Who knows what that means? I know what it means. You know, Monty. No? No? Say it again, louder. That's one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. Yes, sir, you know. Yes, that's right. So, treasure that all your life. Because I say treasure it all your life, but if you're ever poor and need some money, well, you'll get a month's dinners at least out of that. And so it will have blessed you. Right. Now, right. Well, we've been talking about the Latin Vulgate. And this is your chance, sir. And this is a new volume of the Latin Vulgate with all the sources underneath, all that small print. And I'd like somebody else to tell me something in Latin. Well, I've helped you, haven't I? Really, I should keep it because I helped you. But never mind, I'm feeling generous today. Yes, right. Now say louder so that everybody can hear and tell you what it means. Yes, now what does that mean? Sanctus, you know, and Pax, you know. What's Pax? Peace! That's right. Not a piece of something, but peace when you have liberty and freedom and your heart is most comfortable. Right. And sanctus? Yes, that's the word we have in sanctity. That's right. So, sir, you've got Latin. Now, is my time up? Oh, yes. Right. Now, who can give me a sentence in German? This is the famous Heidelberg Catechism, which was the first truly reformed catechism that all the reformed churches used. But it's in German. Now, who's going to have a go? So when nobody wants to try, Mike, I leave it with you, and then... Oh, right. So I have to come over. Gesundheit. Yes. Right. Health. Well, I didn't tell her how many words she had to say, did I? So what do you think? Has she deserved it? Ah, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Now, who speaks French? Apart from me. Oh, vous parlez le français, n'est-ce pas? Sans d'âge espagnol? Danke schön, it's German. Yes, not French. Ce n'est pas français. Danke schön is thank you very much in German. Yes, anyway, you've got one prize. You can't be greedy. Yes.
Je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais pas. Right. What does je ne sais pas mean, the adults? Yeah, I don't know. Right. So, let's live about. Now, who can speak some words of German? No, not. Try again in a couple of years. Some words in German. If the children don't know, we'll have to ask the parents. Last chance. No. Right, the parents. Expressions in Deutsch. Oh, ich bin Berliner. That's Kennedy German. Right, sir. That's the New Testament of the Psalms in German. We give him a clap, too. So, was that the lot? Oh, I've got some special patches and badges here from Vance Airport. Vance Airport is the airport which trains America's top jet pilots and AVAC reconnaissance pilots. And a general there very kindly, when I visited the Vance Airport and tried out their simulators, and I flew at twice the speed of sound, he gave me these patches from his officers. So if you come to me privately and tell me why you would like one of these, I'll give you those. And now we better shut up and stop.